Well, tonight we have a very special person that's going to be speaking a few words to us, and Sister Allred, come on up here. How many appreciate our elders? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Fisher. And you may be seated. And I want to say, first of all, thank you to Brother Fisher for trusting me. Wait. No, that laugh really didn't mean anything. I have my Bible upside down. I guess that wouldn't work. So, and thank you for being brave enough to come and hear me. Thank you. When I was in high school, I took speech lessons or speech classes, and that was in different grades, so I had different ones. And every year in those classes, I gave a speech, and I got an A on it every time. You know why? Because my lesson was on life in a family of 12. And not too many people have 12 people that live in their family as one unit. We did. So it was very interesting to them and to the teacher. So I always got an A, and I hope at least get a D tonight, okay? all right. So I want you to turn with me to, if you want, to Psalm 71 and 5, verse 5. It says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." Now, I'm a little older than probably most of you that are here tonight. But I have lived for God since I was a child, and I'm glad that the Lord helped me. It dawned on me the other day that this Friday is my 60th spiritual birthday. Imagine that. That's older than some of you are. So, but anyway. And then it says in verse 16, it says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come." And so that's where I'm coming from tonight. You may be seated. And back in 1969, a few years ago, I worked for one day, not quite a day, probably about 2 hours, in a packing house in Stockton, in a cherry factory. On a sorting belt, and people told me, "Well, it's not too bad, you know. It's not really hard. You can probably do it." Well, most of my life I've had a problem with motion. Merry-go-rounds and me don't mix, and you won't find me on a Ferris wheel, and I just barely handle elevators when I have to, because sometimes when I get off the elevator, then my body doesn't want to go where I want it to go. So I stay away from motion. So I'm in this packing house, and they put me right in the corner where one belt went this way and another belt went this way. So I had motion that I could see over here, one eye, you know, this way and this way. And I thought, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I had worked for a while, and I'm doing well. Until a little while later, and I'm like, oh, and I finally asked somebody after about 2 hours, I said, "Do they ever have a break around here?" And so they said yes, and so we had a break, and I was feeling really sick. And they told me where the restroom was, and they said, "There's the couch in there, and you can go sit down on the couch." And so I started walking to the restroom where the couch was, and all of a sudden, everything started turning black. Ever had that happen? They call it tunnel vision. And all around, it was all black. And I could see one little ray of light out here. And I was walking. And to walk means to advance by steps. And I wasn't taking very good steps, but I was still walking. And I'm like this, and I would see this little light out here, and I kept moving forward. And I finally found it. It happened to be the wrong restroom. It didn't have a couch in it, but I just leaned against the wall and slid down on the floor. I had tunnel vision, okay, but I was walking. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about keep walking. Keep walking. And it was only by sheer willpower that I walked that day. 1958, as a little kid, I attended a little home missions church in Santa Paula, California. And I probably mentioned this before. Forgive me if you've heard this. And I attended very sporadically. And until the summer of 1958, I started going very regularly. And I went to children's church and I went to Sunday school. I wasn't allowed to go at night. My parents were not in church. And so I just got to go on Sunday morning. And one Sunday morning, my children's church teacher taught a lesson, flannel graph, which you don't see anymore, I don't think. And the name of it was Whosoever's House. Has anybody ever heard or seen that story? Okay, it was about a boy that had a heart house. And he found out that the king was coming, and his house had to be clean when the king came. And it turned out, you know, it was telling you that you needed to be saved. And in that lesson, I realized that I was lost. I realized that I needed salvation. And so in children's church, we went down and prayed. I was 11 years old, and my sister received the Holy Ghost. She was a year older than me, and on Sunday morning, she received the Holy Ghost on August the 31st, 1958, 60 years ago. And her name was Janie, and she was a very more emotionally responsive person than I was. So it was a little easier for her to pray. I prayed very bashfully. And but you know something else? I had been repenting. And nobody knew it. But on a daily basis, when I went to school, when I was at home, when I was out playing. And I will tell you this, coming to God, it has to involve more than just your emotions. It has to involve your will. And some of us have stronger wills than the others. And so for Jane, it may have been easier because she was more emotionally, whatever you call it, active than I was. But I was repenting, and nobody knew it. And I remember one day riding by my Sunday school teacher's house. And I was dressed in the average play clothes that we wore in those days. And they were called pedal pushers. Okay, today we would just call them pants. All right, and I wasn't in a dress, and I remember riding my bicycle. I was getting ready to go by her house, and I thought, you know, I can do this. I still remember the feeling that I had. I can do this. I can ride by her house, and I don't care what I look like. But you know what? When I rode by her house, I felt something that we call conviction. And that's because God was calling me to follow Him. He was calling me to walk with Him. And I wanted to follow Him. I wanted to dress like a girl in a girl's dress. And I was feeling God's call. I was repenting. And so that one Sunday morning when Janie received the Holy Ghost, I walked out and I said, if Janie can do it, if she can receive the Holy Ghost, I can. And so I went home that day and I begged my parents, please, can I go to church tonight? And I got to go. And guess what happened? I went home with I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And 2 weeks later, on my pastor's birthday, he baptized us in the name of Jesus, and I started on a new walk in my life. I began walking with God. We were on our way to live for Him. And so I, in going to church, then I got to start going at night and hearing the message of my pastor, I changed a lot of things about my life. I changed the way that I dressed. I changed the way that I talked. And his teaching and his direction helped me to learn to walk with God. And so 3 months later, and I'll tell you that you've heard me mention this before, I was raised in a home. I had a very wonderful mother. I had a wonderful dad, except the fact that he scared me to death when he started drinking. Okay? I know what it's like to have all the kids standing around screaming because your dad's going to kill you. I've been there. Okay? It's not something you like to tell, but, you know, it's the facts of life. So I've been there. That's why reaching out to children is something that has always been a place in my heart, because I've been where they are. And 3 months later, I stood in a cemetery. I was still an 11-year-old, and I watched as they were preparing to bury my mother. She had passed away. And God was marvelous in the fact that about 5 days before she passed away, she was baptized in Jesus' name and she came out of the water speaking in tongues. And so that was a wonderful work of God. And I look back on those years and I think, you know, I could have stopped. I could have stopped going to church, but I started out and I had something in me that said, I'm going to keep walking. Mama's gone, but I'm going to keep walking. I had my pastor, I had his wife, and they helped me. They helped me to make it. And then, just a few months after that, then life became very interesting in the fact that my dad remarried. And you've heard of Cinderella's stepmother? Her sister moved in with us, okay? And it was not good. It was not good. I had a lot of several younger brothers and sisters, and life became very, very rough. And I could have said, that's all right. I can't handle this anymore. But I said, I have started, and I'm going to finish what I started. I'm going to keep walking. And my pastor and his wife stood beside us, and they helped us. Me and my sister and my brothers to live for God. And at that time, we had, in our Sunday school, we had a teen class. And you got to go to that teen class when you turned 12 years old. And I was so excited because I was going to get to be in with the teenagers. And I never got to go. And the reason is this. My pastor came to me and my sister, who was just a year older than me, and he said, would you be willing to teach a Sunday school class? Me? And so I never made it to the teen class. I started teaching, and I taught for the next 6 years until I left to go to Bible college without a break. God helped me to do it because it was in my heart. My pastor helped to put it there, and he said, you can do it. And so I started out walking for the Lord. And I'm not just telling you this to tell you my story, except that my story can influence you a little bit, hopefully. All right? So, you know my name, and it's not very well known, and so that doesn't matter. But I've been down the road a few times, and I at one time had some wisdom teeth, okay? All right. So, in that time that he invited us to teach, they gave me a concordance. And if you don't know what that is, that's a book that has scriptures in it, and you can find scriptures in the Bible by looking it up in that. I still have that. It was a treasure to me because they trusted me, and they helped me to learn to live and work for God. Now, there are some people who say that young people cannot live for God. You ever hear that? We've got to give them excuses. because they're just young people. And you know what? If I was a teenager, and even younger, and somebody said, you know, I'm sorry, I feel sorry for you, I don't really think you, I would be insulted to think that they would think that I can't live for God. We can keep walking regardless of our age. Regardless of our age. And I learned a lot in the Word of God just by learning by learning the things that I learned to teach from the lessons. And it put a whole lot of things in me that lasted for a lifetime. And during the time that I lived for God there, I became a song leader, totally different than now. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was the youth leader. I had a lot of jobs in the church, and I stayed busy. I had 7 younger brothers and sisters that went to church with me. My parents did not go. They sent the babies even with us. I trained them to sit on the seat when I went up and led songs, and we did it. And so you can live for God.
Right.
Regardless, you can live for God. Keep walking. And if you are a young person and you think, you know, God can't use me, search the scriptures, because God used young people in the Bible. He used young people. And there's a song that Sister Bobby Shoemake wrote, and I like the words of it. I used to sing it quite often. Now Sister Barbara blasts it in my car or her car whenever she gets a chance. She likes it. It's not me singing it, somebody else. And it says, I started one day to follow Jesus. Anybody know that song? Not caring for worldly gain. Though sometimes it seemed that I couldn't make it, my head hung down in shame. The world around me was offering its glitter and trying to dim my view. But I started out, and I'm going to finish the race that I have begun. And the chorus says, though rough the road and though steep the climb, still I'm going right on. And though the rivers I cross, they may be so deep till it seems that all hope is gone. And though the clouds hang low and thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. Because I started out, and I'm going to finish the race I have begun. And then it says, and as it is written, anything you face in your life, remember what the Word of God says. That is, as it is written, surely I found the strength to carry on. And just when it seemed that I couldn't make it, I felt His hand holding mine. No rivers too wide, no mountains too high that I can't overcome, because I started out and I'm going to finish the race that I have begun. I have been through times where my dad said, you are not going back to church. I'm like, okay. And I think I mentioned this before, and one Sunday afternoon he was drinking just enough that he decided he was going to go shoot my pastor. And he had the gun to do it, and he had the mind to do it. And so I remember walking up and down the sidewalk outside and patting a ball and saying, God, you got to do something. You got to do something. You got to do something. And God did something. I didn't go to church that night, but my dad came home from work the next day. And I was in the bedroom ironing, and he stood in my doorway, and he just stood there and stood there. And I'm like, okay. And he said, I don't know, Jesse, something happened, you can go to church. And whatever God did, I don't know, my stepmother said, yeah, it was hot today, wasn't it? You know, uh-huh, it was hot, all right. But it was God speaking to his heart, and I got to go back to church. And so you keep walking, even when you face something like that, keep walking. God will help us. I became 17, and I decided I was going to Bible college. And I didn't have a whole lot of money, but you know what God did for me? I won the first She's for Christ scholarship in the Western District, and I got to go to Bible college. And the Lord made a way that I could go. He supplies. When you don't know where something's coming from, God can supply. And then I married Brother Allred, and we went evangelizing. We were assistant pastor also for a while. And we had a little girl, and She's a big girl now. But I made up my mind that I wanted to teach my daughter. I wanted her to know you can live for God regardless of what happens. You can live for God. She was an evangelist kid till she was 8 years old. And so all she knew was hearing preaching and singing and worshiping. She started singing in church when she was about 2 years old. And I tried to teach her the Word of God. And then when she went to public school, I told her to be an aggressive Christian. Aggressive can have another meaning. I didn't mean to be mean, but I mean you be powerful. You be brave. You be strong. And there is a young woman that, there's a family that lives in Oklahoma. Several of them. My daughter won her friend from school, and she won their family. And those people are there. My daughter was known at school. She sang in front of them. She sang Christian songs talent shows that they had, and she was willing to walk for God. And parents, we can teach our kids and convince them that you can live for God regardless of what happens. And so, and then in 3 John 1:4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And that's not really talking about our kids. That's talking about, like, our pastor. All right? In 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And the other night, there's another verse that says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And that was like the pastor. Be ye followers of me. My pastors helped me to learn to live and to walk with God. And Brother Fisher, Sunday, he had no idea what I was going to be talking about. And Sunday night, he said, trust your pastor. They will help you to know how to let God order your steps. And so God has put in the church someone to help us to learn to walk for him. And so I would tell you tonight, if you are a young person and or if you're a new Christian, I would tell you that when your pastors set your feet on the right path, keep walking. Everybody say it. Keep walking. Keep walking. Brother Baldonado, Sunday morning, he preached about commitment. A wonderful message. Commitment. We can do that. Brother Fisher, Sunday night, said, he talked about the ordered steps of God. And my pastor, Brother James Hall, he led me to dress like a girl. He led me to know about praying. He led me to know that you can work for God. And so they're valuable to us in learning to walk for God. And so keep walking. I had, in the time that I was in Santa Paula before I left to go to college, I had 3 pastors. I had another one when I was a little tiny kid. But Brother Hall, the man that baptized me, and I'll tell you this, that man today is in his 90s. He still prays for me. He still prays for me. And he set me on the right track, on the route. He taught me how to draw a line. And I don't mean with a piece of chalk. I mean draw a line in your heart that says, this is where I'm going to live for God, and I'm not going past that line. I set this for the way that I live for God. I'm not going to go past that. He taught me that. Brother Vernon Barkley was my pastor then for several years. He trained me to work more effectively for God. And that was, I was already a Sunday school teacher, but they trained me with some teacher training sessions. He taught me, number one, in being a teacher, to know my God. He taught me that I need to know my student, and he taught me that I needed to know my lesson. He set me on the right path to work for God. And so I appreciate the pastors that I had. I remember we would get our new literature, and I was just a young teenager, probably about 14 at this time. I remember getting our new literature, and I would go home after church. And my sister and I would sit up at night and sit up. We had bunk beds, and we'd sit up on the end of the bunk bed and hang our feet off. and look at all this literature. It was exciting. It's exciting to transfer something to someone else that you have. And so I'm just telling you, keep walking, whatever. And then I had Brother Chester Abbott as my pastor, and he was a one God preacher. And through him, I learned a whole lot about the oneness of God. Brother Barclay taught me one thing that has stuck with us. My sister and I were talking about this the other night. She had him as a pastor for a while, too. And if you thought that you couldn't do something, you know what he told us? We all remember it. He said, we're going to kill old Can't, and we're going to whip old Couldn't until he could. And we still say that today. So when I thought I couldn't do it, he'd say, you can do it. You can do it. And so for you who are learning to walk with God, I tell you, you can do it. Keep walking. Keep walking. Get out whatever it takes and kill old Kate and whoop old Couldn't until he could. And you'll be successful. Now, I want to tell you this. It matters who you walk with. And it matters who you follow. Now, the scripture tells us to follow me as I follow Christ. I have a friend that passed away a number of years ago, Brother Bob Baglin's wife. Brother Fisher knew them. She was a very close friend of mine. And we worked on the Ladies Auxiliary Board for some time together. And we went to a meeting one time, a ladies board meeting, and we were talking. People were talking about different things. And I can still remember a conversation that she and I had. And it was concerning changes that we were seeing in the group that we were involved in church, organization, just general. And there were things that were disturbing to us and in our religious groups. And we talked about it, and I can remember a saying that she and I discussed, and it is this. It says, familiarity breeds tolerance. Now, tolerance is okay in some things. But when you're living for God, and you've drawn a line and you say, this is what God wants me to do, you don't want to step over that line. But if you walk with people and you follow people that are willing to change all of that, then that's not a good tolerance. And so biblical standards, we need to walk with people that have the same biblical standards and values that we have and that are put forth from our pastor. And so Sister Barbara mentioned something to me, someone that she had heard about while she was in California. She talked about a man in the church out there. He had come in to live for God a number of years ago. He told them that he had been trained to walk like a hardcore gang member. And so when he walked, I can't do it, but he walked with his feet out, and, you know, he kind of did his thing. He was a tough guy, okay? And he came to God, and he wanted to change that, but he was just wasn't quite able to do it. And one day he was walking with some people, and all of a sudden he realized he was walking straight. He had been working on it, and so we can train ourselves to walk with God. If we listen to his word, we listen to the preaching, we seek him, God can change. There's a scripture that says, thy word, and you know the scripture, a lot of you know it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And let me tell you this. If you're wanting to learn and to train yourself to walk with God, talking with friends, depending on who they are, and somewhat, talking with your friends in McDonald's, or what else was I going to say? That's not going to give you the bread that you're needing spiritually. And looking for advice on Facebook isn't going to be the thing that's going to teach you how to live for God. This is the thing that's going to help us to learn to keep walking. And there's nothing wrong with going to McDonald's. You can go tonight if you want to. But I'm just telling you to, you get it from the Word of God. Not, it depends on who your friends are too, what they tell you. And so you can say, well, Sister Robert, we live in a different age. And you know, so things have changed. But you know what? The principle of God's Word does not change. It doesn't. It's the same for you today as it was for me when I was a kid. The principles of the Word of God never, ever change. And it's easier when to walk when you can see where you're going. And so you know how you see by the light of the Word of God. And you do that by reading and by listening. And then, so I'll leave that behind now. And I just want to tell you a few things. And I'm watching the clock, okay? some of you have heard the story that I have told. I don't know if I've mentioned it up here on the platform before, but I have one daughter and 21 years ago, we found out that we were going to be grandparents. And she became very, very ill. Have I told you this story before? Mm-hmm. And she was, I'll just use the word, she was vomiting so much that it was terrible. And she was trying to work a job and she couldn't. And so I found what we thought was the best doctor in town to take her to, and I took her. And when she came out, I said, what did he tell you? And she said, he wants me to take Compazine. Some of you who are in the medical field know what that is. It's an anti-nausea drug that was very common. And I said, Nancy, I don't want you to take that because I took it one time when I had to have some surgery and it paralyzed me. From two different times, the doses that they gave me, I could not open my eyes. I could not do anything. And so I said, I don't want you to take that, I'm afraid. She said, Mom, that's you, and this is me, and I have to work, and whatever. And so she took it. And something began to happen to her, and she began to lose the ability to walk right, to talk right, and she ended up, I'll just tell you, it sent her into severe Parkinson's. Her mouth was drawn into a little bitty hole. Her eyes wouldn't open. And when I would try to talk to her, she would go, because she was trying to talk, but it wouldn't work. Nothing worked right. And so I called the doctor's office, and I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, they were going to come out, and they had been giving her shots of this stuff. And I made the connection. This is connected to this medication that she's taking. They were coming to give her another shot, and I refused it. And so I finally, after getting a call from the doctor, of him yelling at me, no, you stay there. I'm like, who is this guy? And so anyway, I took her to the hospital, and she was very, very, very ill. The nurses told me in the hallway, they said, we have never seen anything like this before, you know, with a woman that's expecting a baby. And I'm like, okay. And so, anyway, just to make this story short, it destroyed the dopamine, am I saying that word correctly, in her brain. It poisoned her. The neurologist, they called in a gastroenterologist, and he put some Benadryl in her line for IV line. And if I hadn't seen it myself, I would not have believed it. But here she is. She can't open her eyes. He put it in there, and all of a sudden her eyes went, boop! They opened, and she said, give me some more of that. And I'm like, whoa! And then the neurologist came in and said, don't give her any more of that. If she has a reaction, we are in trouble. And he explained to us what had happened. He said, it has destroyed all of this in her brain. We can't guarantee that it's coming back. We can't guarantee what the baby is going to be like. We have no guarantees. And she was only 9 weeks along in her pregnancy. And he told us to take her home. And the other doctor wouldn't release her. And she... he took her by the hands and he pulled her toward him. He said, watch this. This is the neurologist. He pulled her toward him, and he started walking backwards very rapidly, and she could follow him. She did it. I'm like, oh, but she could not start. It had destroyed her starter. And so it was a very, very frightening time, very frightening. And so people were praying, and I stayed with her, either she or my son-in-law or myself stayed with her all the time so they didn't make a mistake and give her something. And so one night she was in so much pain, and her hands were drawn, and she was in a bad shape. And so I put her in a wheelchair, and I rolled her all through the hospital all night long. And it was, again, very, very frightening. This is my child. And she's grown up, but she's still my kid, you know. And we, down in the first floor of Community Memorial Hospital, there's a little chapel. And I walked into that chapel, pushing her in the chair. And I walked over, and there was a Bible laying there. And I picked up that Bible, and I opened it up, and the scripture, it was almost like it popped out at me. And it said, it's in Isaiah 41:13, it says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And I walked out of that chapel, walking with God, pushing her. She still looked the same. We went to the nursery and saw some babies, and the grandmother was there, and my daughter looked up at her, and she said, my name is Nancy, and I'm going to have a baby. And I'm like, okay. this isn't my daughter. This, you know, something's wrong. But we walked out of that hospital and went to my house where she was on IVs in my home. I had to learn how to do all that. She went to church with IVs. And later on in a revival, we had an evangelist there, Brother Hill. And in a service one night, he was preaching, and all of a sudden he stopped. And he said, God just opened a window in heaven. And he said, Jeff and Nancy, your baby's going to be okay. And the doctor had told us that we would not know about anything about the baby until it started to walk, if this medication had affected her. But today, she walks, she talks, and she's living for God. She's 20 years old, and the Lord was with us. And so the doctor may say, we don't know, but God knows. And there's a song that says, there is peace in the midst of a storm-tossed life. There's an anchor, there's a rock to build my faith upon. Jesus rides in my vessel, so I'll feel no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. And it was there. We were in a tremendous storm, but God can come through when we don't know what we're going to do. And then one other thing that I want to talk about very quickly. I'm trying to hurry. On March the 20th, 2014, that's been 4 years ago, I ended up in the hospital with a broken hip. Lots of fun. And on that day, I entered into one of the darkest times of my life. And I had a hip replacement, and I was walking, and I thought I was going to go home pretty soon. You know, I was doing pretty good. And I'm going to say right here to thank you to my friend Barbara Ryan. She helped me live through one of the darkest times in my life at that time. And that's what friends are for. I'll just tell you this. I'll just brag on her because she deserves it, okay? She worked. She would go she ran a cafeteria in the school district. She worked early, early in the morning, and she would get off about 1:30 or so. She would go home and pick up her little dog. Anybody know her little dog? All right. And she would go pick up Kirby and bring Kirby to the hospital when I was in the rehab. And Kirby stayed there with her until usually about 11 o'clock at night, and helped me to live through a bad time. The staff loved her. They loved her dog. The the nurses carried that dog all over the place, and just it was a special time. She was a therapy dog. So anyway, that's just a side deal. Thank you, Sister Barbara. And so I was going to go home, I thought. And then I had a complication come up, and they sent me back to the hospital, and they opened it again and redid it. And when I stood up on the floor after the second surgery, I'm like, I said, what did you guys do? They had messed up something. And so I was like, okay, I can't walk like I could walk a while ago. And, you know, it wasn't very much fun. And so I got back, I sent back to the rehab, and I spent 7 weeks in the hospital. And something was wrong. I didn't know what was going on. I was in excruciating pain, and they just messed something up there. And now I'm going to read to you some words of a song, and this might help you. It says, Sister Ewing, Joan Ewing wrote this a long time ago, and I used to sing it when we traveled. It says, you say your heart is broken, and fate is unkind, that your pathways are covered with stones, that your skies are all gray, and that tears fall like rain, and life's not worth living at all. And then the chorus says, but have you counted the angels that kept you from harm? Have you counted the sun rays after the storm? I've counted the tears and the smiles that I've had, and I remember that with Jesus, the good times always outweigh the bad. Okay, and I used to sing that song. But I am in a dark, dark, you can't even imagine the dark that I was in. And I was in a dark place, and it's almost like, you know, there's a scripture that says something about the eyes of the Lord, the angels of the Lord encamp around you and stuff. And I'm like, okay, you know, I believe this, and I've walked with you, God, and so where are you right now? All right? And my humanity wanted to say to this song, really? Really? Okay. And then one morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. And I had a bed beside it was a window area. There was a courtyard outside. And I left the curtains open at night. The nurses thought I was nuts. But I left them open. If somebody saw in, who cares? You know, there wasn't anybody out there anyway. And so I wanted the curtains open. And so I woke up this one morning, and I felt deep, black despair. You ever been there? Deep black despair. And I remember what I said about the tunnel vision. Everything got black. It just kind of closes in. And you see just this little bit of light out there. Well, thank God I knew the Word of God. That's a little bit of light that was out there. It was still there. And God sometimes has different ways that He talks to us. And the darkness was closing in on me. Not only was I broken in my body and had had complications and wondered what's going to happen now, I was broken in my spirit in a way I had never been broken in my life. And but you know what? God wanted me to remember more of that song. That song doesn't end there. Listen to this of it. If I can remember the words now. I had them written down somewhere. Here it is. He says, and this is from Scripture. Now the lilies of the field. Now this is God talking to me through this song. 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm in black, hopeless despair. Now the lilies of the field, they have fine clothes to wear. They dress far better than kings. And now can you trust your life in the hands of a man who cares for a bird's broken wings? But I forgot to tell you, the curtain was open. You know what I saw out there? early in the morning, one little bird, one little bird walking around on the ground. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, now the lilies of the field, now can you trust your life in the hands of a God who cares for a bird's broken wings. And, you know, I can tell you right now, I could say to God, Lord, I don't know exactly where you are in this. I don't know where you are. But you care about my broken wings. And I'm walking for you, and I'm going to keep walking. Everybody say, keep walking. I'm going to keep walking. And this was a time in my life that, Lord, I've had to strive to trust you. But I'm going to keep walking. And there's a scripture in Isaiah 9:6. We, most of us, know it. And it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. But the next part is what I want you to remember tonight. And it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. None of us say, I don't. We don't have the ability, we don't have the knowledge, and we do not have the authority to try to govern our own lives. We don't. God is God. And so I had to say, God, I trust you. I don't know where you are right now. I can't feel you. I don't see you. But I know I hid the Word of God in my heart when I was a kid. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you. You're going to help me. And so you know what I did that morning? I got up. I went to therapy. And I walked. And I walked. I wasn't just walking on my feet that day. I was walking in my heart. Because God helped me to continue to walk. And so I stayed a little longer in the hospital, and I went home, and on the first service that I went back to church, and Sister Barbara's laughing because she knows, it was Mother's Day, and I was on a walker, and you know what I did, because I loved Mother's Day, and I was the one that, I was the Sunday school director, and I did the Mother's Day program, and I put together a Mother's Day program. And I used my walker, and I climbed up on the platform, and I led that Mother's Day program because I was going to walk with God regardless. And so, Brother Fisher doesn't know this, but the other night, I was talking with him and Sister Fisher the other night, and he reminded me of a song that I used to sing. And it says, and I'm going to read these words to you. It says, how many times will I be discouraged, and why should I walk through the valley low? And how many times will I know a broken heart? Sorrow so deep, no human could know. And then it says, and when my brother has forgotten his promises, you ever been there? And all my friends have let me down, I put my trust in the one who's been there too. For with Jesus, I have victory. I plan to make it through. And then the song, and this is the part that he reminded me of. And it says, there's something deep inside. Anybody know that song? That says, keep walking on. Everybody say, keep walking on. Your journey's almost over. The sun is almost gone. And then my heart is lifted up so high, my strength renewed. For with Jesus, I have victory. I plan to make it through. There's something deep inside that says, keep walking on. Your journey's almost over. The sun is almost gone. And then my heart is lifted up so high, my strength renewed. Yes, with Jesus, I have victory. I plan to make it through. And there's another song, I'm not going to sing it, but it says, you're still Lord. You're still my Father. Through little or much, I still feel your touch. You're still Lord. And you're still Lord. You'll always be mine through all of time. You're Lord to me. And then there's a song, I know some of you probably know it, and I'm going to be quiet in just a minute, but it says, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Anybody know that one? I've had a lot of heartache. I've had a lot of grief and woe. Oh, but when I would stumble, then I would humble down. And then I would say, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I'm gonna keep on walking. And it says, well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything that God and name, all the wealth I want, and worldly fame, but if I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. There have been some dark times, but I said I'm going to keep walking. There have been some happy times, I'm going to keep walking. There's been some lean times, but I'm going to keep walking because God holds my hand. And it says, there's nothing in the world that can never take the place of God's love. All the silver and gold could never buy His touch from above. When my soul needs healing, then I began feeling His power. And I say, oh, praise the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Everybody say, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Brother Fisher.